Welcome to the Closeted Soul Podcast. I'm your host, Shalee. This podcast is all about exploring the depths of your soul. We dive deep into spiritual concepts and tools that we can utilize in the physical world to really navigate life. So join me and so many others on this insane journey of self-discovery, and let's learn and grow in both the spiritual and physical world together. So welcome, Abigail and Latoya. This is my first three-way podcast interview. I've been calling it a three-way because I don't know what else to call it. But thank you for coming onto the Closeted Soul Podcast. I'm so excited to have you guys here.
Thank you for having us. This is my first time on a podcast, so I'm excited.
I love it.
Same for me. I'm like so jazzed about this. Like, I just know that this conversation is going to be amazing, and I just love both of you so much. So thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, no, you're so welcome. I love you too. And I'm so excited for this convo. Abigail and Latoya are soul sisters that I met through the soul teacher course that I've been yapping on about. And honestly, crazy talented intuitives. So do you guys want to explain a little into the work that you do? So maybe we'll start with who wants to go first? You guys choose.
Latoya, go first.
Latoya, you can go first. Okay, so I am a boy mom. I'm a wife and an educator, and I am intuitive that loves absolutely everything metaphysical, and I love teaching everything spiritual, everything that I've learned, and all that I just want to share it with everybody because I feel like it's so important. Like, it's important for you to know your gifts and your abilities to just live life the best way that you can and the best way that your soul can evolve. And if I could share any of that information to whoever, even if it's just one person listening, I will gladly do it.
We're definitely going to dive deeper into that. I'm so excited to learn about your spiritual journey because you're like so powerful. So I need to know more. So Abigail, how about you?
So I am the founder and owner of Breath of Life, LLC. It is my new baby. I'm an registered nurse by trade, a medical intuitive, a shaman. I am all about, exactly like Latoya, all about the spiritual and metaphysical. I've been an intuitive my whole life. I just never had the language for it. So when I found the Soul Academy, that was like a game changer because I've always known that I was called to medicine. But there was always just this like other half of the coin that I didn't know. So I was so excited when I finally like found that piece, which was the intuitive piece. And I've been able to marry them so beautifully within Breath of Life. And so,
wow, so powerful. And Breath of Life, she has insane conversations on there as well. So if you want to dive deeper into like insane spiritual concepts, just definitely head over to her Instagram to check that out. Now, seeing as this is the Closeted Soul Podcast, I ask all my guests, when did you first come out of the spiritual closet? Latoya, do you want to start with you?
So the first time that I came out like to the world was June 22nd of this year I opened up my business. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it's been, I was never like the child that was intuitive, like at a young age. I just always known that there was something more, like something bigger than us, bigger than earth, bigger than humans, and just always believed in that, but I've never knew how to go about learning more about it until I had my reading with Nikki Novo, which is our spiritual mentor from Soul Teacher. And then from there, I went on my little journey of going through all her courses and just falling deeper and deeper in love with everything metaphysical and spiritual. So I have 8 months in the whole thing.
Wait, so prior to like meeting Nikki and like joining in on the courses and stuff like that, you weren't doing this work?
Not at all.
That's insane. To me, it feels like you've been doing it for a lifetime.
Well,
on a soul,
has been doing it for many lifetimes, and it's in my DNA, but I didn't know it was in my DNA because it was shut out from my ancestry, like in my family. We never spoke about it. It was just generations of it, but was never passed down, which is something that is in me, in my lineage, is to now like re-spark it and also pass it down to my children. Lineage can be healed and carried on.
Wow, there's so many things I want to dive into there with like ancestor work and all of that. So before we do, we'll go on to Abigail. How about you? When did you first come out of the spiritual closet?
Oh, God, it's so funny because I'm also I identify as bisexual. And so when people ask me, like, when did you come out? I was like, well, I didn't. I've just always been. So, you know, people have these like really beautiful stories and, you know, very similar to Latoya's, and I like feel like I just don't have one because I just have always known that like I know things. Like I was very claircognizant. I am very clairsentient, and also I can like hear people when they like lie to me, like outright lie.
Wow.
And so I've always like called people out, but the problem was that I didn't have language for that. I'm probably going to end up saying that a lot because that's so important. That's such an important piece. If you don't have the words for it, then you can't describe it to people and you can't explain why it is that you know something to be true. And so people will just call you really terrible names, a know-it-all or, you know, I don't know if we can swear on this podcast, but
you can absolutely swear.
you know, they'll just call you a bitch or they'll call you incredibly blunt or a lot of other things. And so that's what was happening to me all through my childhood, all through my adult life until I got this. So once I had gone through Soul Teacher and I realized that this was this work, being a light worker, being an energy worker, was my second calling, like my other half of my soul contract. I just started figuring out how I wanted to integrate that into my life. And I didn't really think about creating my business as my like coming out. I just did it.
Yeah.
So I wish I had a better story than that.
No, honestly, I love that story.
I guess if I want to have a coming out story, I'm coming out on your podcast.
So many people have been actually coming out on the podcast. They're like, I actually haven't come out of the closet yet. Like, this will be the first time. And I'm like, oh, it's a pretty good debut because this is a pretty woo podcast. I love that story. There's just so much I want to dive into there. Like, Abigail, if we look into your story, because you just said that, you know, the other part of your soul contract is to actually do this energy work. And what Abigail also does is she's a nurse. So you actually incorporate both Western and Eastern medicine. And I think that's so interesting. So you see that there's a place for both. Do you want to expand on that?
Yeah. So I've always been very much an, not an either or, but an and both person. I've done that with science and people who believe in religion, you know, I do not qualify myself as a religious person at all. In fact, I would say on some level, I'm almost kind of like triggered by that word, although that doesn't quite fit for me there. I just really don't like it. I don't think that any faith asks for religion. I think faith asks for faith. And people will be like, well, like, don't you believe in, you know, like, God created the world? And I'm like, yeah, but I don't believe he created it 6,000 years ago, like some creationists believe. I believe in science, that there was a big bang. And I think that we just don't have the level of consciousness yet to truly understand that. And some people have been able to access that information through the Akashic records and through their spirit guides and ascended masters and things like that. And when you listen to them speak, the person who is either what we would call in light worker language, unawakened, or people who are not yet fully into light worker mode will hear those explanations and they're going to be like, that sounds crazy. Mm-hmm. And my answer to that is, but you believe in a creator you can't see, you can't hear, you know, to people of science, mm-hmm. that also sounds crazy. So yeah. It's interesting, the interplay and how much people are willing to accept versus not accept and what people think are crazy. And so I just come at it from the perspective of like, if you can dream it, if you can think it, if you can imagine it, if you can create it, it exists, it is real. You can find a way to figure it out. So in my world, East and West absolutely can coexist. And what makes them be able to coexist is intuition. You have to be able to understand that there is a physical reason for ailments and also an energetic reason for ailments, that you can fix one and maybe you'll be able to fix the other. Mm-hmm. I think of issues of fertility, for example. I'm sure mm-hmm. that LaToya has probably had clients like this as well, where they're coming saying, I can't get pregnant and I really want to have a kid. And we can look at their sacral chakra, one of the seven energetic centers of the body, and say, oh, well, you've got this block here, you've got this wound here, or we can go into your Akashic records and maybe there's a lineage, a past life wound that we need to heal in relation to fertility, and we can heal that. And then maybe this woman is able to then get pregnant right after we've done that healing. But that person may also have a cyst on an ovary that, if simply removed with modern Western medicine, that all of a sudden she can get pregnant. And maybe there are women out there who have both issues and will deal with the cyst and realize she still can't get pregnant and needs to come to any of the three of us ladies here and get that energetic wound healed and then be able to have a baby. So it really does come together very beautifully. And it's just whether or not you want to open up your mind to the possibility of the amazing.
Did you want to add anything, LaToya, before I?
No, I just like the when you said the amazing, because this world is amazing. And when you go into and explore more of your spirituality and your intuition, you just learn how much you can do. And you're doing it within, and you're giving, like, the power is within you. So just exploring it is amazing. So I really liked how you said that.
Yeah, I loved your explanation on how the Eastern and the Western world work together in synchrony. And basically, you also described the fact that people can actually rely on their intuition, which is so powerful and something often humans forget, right? We kind of lose that sense of intuition as we go through life. And yeah, I guess if we're using spiritual terms like conscious and unconscious, I know for me personally, from my experience when I was living my life unconsciously, I was just making decisions based on what I thought was right by societal norm. But I like that you said, no, give that power back to yourself. Does this feel right? If it does, then follow it. So I think, like, you guys are incredible for, first of all, Abigail, you are really like straight out and you're like, you're not going to like cut the bullshit, which I love. Like, I respect that energy so, so, so much. I think more people need to be like that. Just be like, this is it. And I just love it so much. I'm so attracted to that energy. And LaToya, I actually think you're like this as well. You're pretty like blunt in that this is just what it is and I'm not going to like beat around the bush, which I like. So when you guys are connecting to your intuition, especially because you're saying like LaToya, it only took you like 8 months to actually connect to this world, and you do it in such like a deep way. And I know that it was like a soul remembrance for you, but it can be really hard for people to trust themselves like this, to completely trust in your intuition. Because when we're talking to spirit, we're hearing spirit in our own voice. We are feeling those things in our own voice. So technically we are trusting ourselves when we go on this mm-hmm. journey, and it's hard, right? So do you have any mm-hmm. tips for the listeners to actually tap into their intuition?
I think the biggest tip to take away is, and it's going to sound easy, like it sounds easy, but it's hard. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's simply trust in mm-hmm. throwing all that outside noise mm-hmm. away. Mm-hmm. And when you're able to quiet yourself down and you're really listening to you, you're listening to your inner thoughts, your inner feelings. And if you're able, like I said, if you're able to block out the outside noise, like that ego that's like annoyance when you are trying to go within, that is like, I feel like the key. And like really making sure that you find community, because I feel like that was like the thing that pushed it. Mm-hmm. My ability to expand in this world, like in the spiritual world, and like grow my gifts was through community mm-hmm. and through practice and community with women who are doing the same, who are into their spirituality and who's practicing developing these intuitive gifts and doing it together is so powerful, because you end up like kind of sharing your energy, sharing your gifts, right? And it like amplifies it a bit more. And also validation is what you get from your group, from mm-hmm. the community. Because if you, like, this is not meant to be learned on your own. Because if you're here learning on your own, I feel like that just opens the door to more fear and more ego to like really push it and not allow you to open up more.
Yeah.
So basically coming out of the closet is a way of like developing these gifts and not really giving a shit about what society is telling you about you opening up these gifts. Because like society, like beforehand, right? Before I dug into this intuitive world, spiritual world, whatever you want to call it, my power was given outside of me. I was giving my power to other people. Mm-hmm. But now my power is within, and I could give two shits less about like what other people are telling me about what I believe. Yes, I may sound crazy, but I know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So I will share it. And I know that there's other people out there who need to hear what I'm sharing. Mm-hmm. So I will do it willingly, and I don't mind being called crazy, you know? So again, it's really community, validation, and sharing your gifts, even if it's just to one person. Even if you're sharing your gift to a squirrel, that squirrel has a soul.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That. And that activates other things within this world and the vibrations. Like when you are doing that, like, it's just amazing.
I love that.
I absolutely agree with everything LaToya said. And I can absolutely concur with how important community is. That when you start feeling like something isn't right. So for any agnostics or atheists out there, who you start like, something starts to hit for you and you're like, you know what? Something doesn't feel right. That is intuition. That is your intuition talking to you, mm-hmm. telling you that there is more out there and your mind can now handle more. There are people out there, and I want the listeners to understand, there are going to be people out there that you come across who, like, their minds literally cannot handle mm-hmm. all of the information. We are humans. We are finite. We're souls in human bodies, but that human body puts a cage around us. It sounds awful. I know, but it's true. And it is up to us to listen to that intuition when it starts talking to us, because that's a signal that our minds, that that cage is starting to become brittle, and our minds have the ability to break out of that and handle so, so much more. And that from that point, it's just a rocket to mm-hmm. what it is that you can learn and experience and feel and sense and know. And I like to tell people who ask me, you know, like, well, what about, you know, the holy books? And I'm like, your idea of God is too small. Mm-hmm. And I don't judge you for that. I don't dislike you for that. But if you're telling me that a human writing about the concept of God is where it stops, I gotta tell you, you are missing so much out there. There is so much more. There is so much more beauty. There is so much more magic. There is so much more to live for. There's so much more life. This world, this universe, like, screw the world. There is a whole universe out there. And I know this is a topic that LaToya is, like, psyched about, because she's all about the galactic. But, like, there is just so much more out there. And it's truly, truly up to us. We have the power, just like LaToya said, to be able to access that knowledge and that those gifts. And so, yeah, community, finding people, trusting that initial moment where you're, like, in doubt, follow that doubt, follow it, and figure out what feels right to you. And what feels right to you will lead you to the truth. Promise. Mm-hmm.
Promise. I love what you guys said. I love everything. And yes, sense of community, like, that was the biggest game changer for me, because I needed to be validated with everything I was experiencing. It's like, yeah, okay, on one hand, you can have all these, like, insane spiritual experiences, but then you're alone in that, you know, in my own world. Like, I was an atheist, so I was surrounded by other like-minded people. So no one was having my experiences at the time. And I was like, whoa, like, am I losing my mind, or is this really happening? And then, exactly right, when I got to connect with like-minded individuals, I was like, actually, no, we are all so powerful. We all have the ability to do this. And I love that, Abby, you pointed out the magic of the universe, because that's just what I've always known at a soul level. When I was a kid, I used to just walk around and I knew that this world was just magical. I think, LaToya, you mentioned this as well. I just knew that magic existed, but I just had no language to put to that. So when you find the language that goes with that, you're like, whoa, like, this makes so much sense. And I totally relate with, like, everything you were saying about religion as well. I think with me personally, because I got to see the polarity between religion. I grew up in a Muslim household, and I went to a Muslim preschool, and then, like, a primary school, I mean, sorry. And then I went to a Christian high school, and I always celebrated both. So I really got, like, the polarity between those two religions. And quickly I realized that it was associated with so much fear, so much lack. And it was just kind of like, it just felt like you were being stepped on. And I was like, shit, like, this doesn't feel good. This feels so shit. You know, I don't want to be stepped on. And I was just like, I'm not going to do any of it. And that way, that's how I actually ended up blocking out spirituality altogether. So what you were saying about religion, I completely agree with. It's like, it's just like this little concept, and a lot of it has been, it's just humans kind of putting, trying to create the story that tries to make sense in their head. And Abby, you said this before, but it's literally beyond our human understanding. Like, we have been diving deep into this world, right? Into the spiritual world. And we have been learning all of these, like, universal concepts, and we still don't know shit. That's the funny thing. We still don't know shit. Like, there's just so much out there that we can actually explore, and it's beyond our understanding. We are not supposed to understand, or all we are supposed to do is come here to fulfill our purpose and what we came here to do.
Yeah. Today I actually was in meditation and went and like ended up in like the eighth dimension. And I swear to God, I was like, what is this shit? I literally, actually having been in this spiritual world, like you'd think that stuff like that happening to me in the depths of my meditation would not freak me out. But like, I literally did not know what I will be processing that experience for a long time, going like, how do I even put it into words? How do I even formulate what I saw and felt? And like, even now as I talk about it, like I can just like feel my guides being like, that wasn't the point of you going there.
Yes.
Like, it's not to explain it.
No.
It's not to try to put it into another box for you to try to like make sense of. Like your point of being taken there, of going there, of finding that place within myself was about experiencing it and just integrating that feeling. And I mean, that can happen. That doesn't have to happen in the eighth dimension, in the middle of our galaxy and our solar system, our universe. That can happen while you're like sitting outside looking at a tree and like being taken by the strength of an ant walking up that tree and finding the beauty in a dewdrop.
Yeah.
You know, like literally getting lost in the tiny universe that is those things, those very natural, normal, everyday things. Mm-hmm. I mean, that beauty exists everywhere. It doesn't have to be so metaphysical that you can't even grasp it. I mean, that's that level of intensity and unknowableness exists right here in our physical world. Like, we don't have to go outside of that.
No, I completely agree with what you're saying. And I love that you mentioned that, because that's something that I've really been grasping and something that, you know, my guides have been teaching me. Like, we, like, all of these cool things exist and it's cool to finally be awake to it. But, like, and it's cool to explore that stuff. Great. But it's really not about that. It really is just about being here on Earth and how can you make this human life as good as you can, right? And we just use these spiritual tools and concepts to help us along the way. That's all that is there for. It's for help along the way. So I love that you mentioned that, because the beauty really does exist in the physical world.
I was gonna ask, I'm interested, like for you, has that been that getting lost in the world? Like, have you noticed, I mean, you live in Australia, which I'm super jealous about. Like, please tell me you've got kangaroos marching in front of your house. I'm sure that you're going to be like, Abigail, no, I don't. Do you have like...
No, do you know what? It's actually like, so funny. We actually do. Like, that's what's so funny. I was saying that to my little sister the other day. I was like, you know what's funny? People think, oh, you have kangaroos in your backyard. I'm like, but we do. We genuinely do. They just, I'll send you a picture next time. But they are everywhere. No, it's very beautiful to like surrender to nature and just surrender to Mother Gaia.
Oh my God. I feel like I know that like the environment is such a huge topic, but like what we do to it is so saddening to me. Like, it crushes my soul. And I just feel like there's, for anybody listening, I mean, I feel like I come across almost two different camps of people, that like the people who are very, like all they can handle is like our earth, you know, middle world, as the shamans call it, or, you know, the three-dimensional world, not to be confused with like a 3D mindset. Mm-hmm. And because that is, they want to be able to make sense of it, right? Mm-hmm. And so they can't think about the idea of like connecting it to faith or, you know, just spirituality in general. That scares them. But I feel like intuition can operate in both worlds. Like, you can use your intuition and should in your everyday life. And like, that can be as simple as like taking care of your planet, mm-hmm. taking care of the planet that we live on. Like, mm-hmm. if the crazy metaphysical aspect of like aliens and like the Galactic Federation and like super consciousness and the Akashic Records is like way too much for you, like, God, like, let me help you, like, use your intuition to like help the planet.
Yeah.
Cause like, this is the only one we got.
Yes. You know what? I've actually thought about this and I used to feel really bad about it, but I feel like Mother Gaia is so fucking powerful that really we're like killing ourselves off. So like if we fuck up the environment to a point, we're just going to end up killing ourselves. And then Mother Gaia is going to be fine. She's going to be like, I'm still thriving. You guys idiots.
Well, I'm going to now get into the 4D Earth, New Earth, right? So yes, that is true, right? So like we need to move towards not only being compassionate towards one another, but also being compassionate towards like nature, animals, the environment, the earth, right? Because we are, and we're moving towards that as a society, right? We're moving towards that understanding of one, because we really are all connected. Trees connected to humans, connected to animals, connected to water. We're all one. It's we all breathing that same. I keep on saying one, but like that oneness is within us, right? Because we all are coming from source. Yes. That's who we come from. So when we are not, you know, operating with that mindset, and we are operating with that selfish mindset that I'll just say 3D mindset, right? And you're not looking at your next door neighbor as being your, like, that's also another soul. Mm. That soul is a part of this oneness, right? We are, in a way, we're destroying the earth, right? Mm. We're not only destroying the earth by littering in the physical sense, we're destroying the vibration of earth. Mm-hmm. So we are not able to evolve if we continue in this way, right? Mm-hmm. And a simple act, for me, a simple act of picking up the garbage off the ground, that sends a vibration into the soil. Like that's appreciation. They're grateful of it. Mm-hmm. And like trees have spirits, mm-hmm. plants have spirits. Like at one point, not at one point, actually clouds is a soul. Mm-hmm. Like we are all living together. So we all must work together and live in this oneness, because that vibration is just only going to continue. But if we don't, then we're just going to have individuals stuck in that old 3D earth, because earth is moving into new earth. Mm. And new earth is completely regenerated and vibrant with life. So yes, we're killing off ourselves and not earth, because earth is always regenerating.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I was just about to say, like, the world has been here for billions of years. It will be, you know, whether you call her Gaia, world, Pachamama, whatever you call her, you know, she has been here. She has been nurturing a variety of species. It will continue for another billion more until our sun, you know, has spent itself. But like that new earth, that 4D earth that LaToya is talking about, that is only if we as individuals can continue to evolve and move into our 4D selves. Some of us have been in other, you know, variations of higher consciousness and have chosen to come back to try to uplift the collective. But like the whole point of the messages that LaToya has been receiving is this like plea from this new earth for us to get our shit together and like join her. Like we need to, because when we, like LaToya was saying, like, I don't pick up trash because I feel like, you know, I mean, yes, it shouldn't be on the ground. It should be recycled or, you know, composted or whatever. But I pick it up because me showing reverence to the place that I live that nurtures me is me nurturing myself, me elevating my vibration so that I can exist on that new on that new earth. A 3D me is not going to be able to exist on a 4D earth, not at all. So this is a preservation of the species, in my opinion. Like, if we can't figure it out, we won't be here.
Absolutely. Well,
simply put, 4D earth is already there.
Yes.
It's just waiting for us to level up to come over.
Yes.
And in 4D, and this is me speaking from what my guides have shown me, what has been shown to me from, you know, the Syrian tribe, the channeled messages that I received. And in viewing and seeing New Earth is there. 4D Earth is there, and it's vibrant with new species of plants and animals that are activated for that 4D dimension. But so it's there. It's just waiting for us to evolve and to help others evolve to move us over there.
I love that you guys are talking about unity consciousness, and it's not just you, it's not just the world that you're affecting when you litter. Like, that's a representation on how you feel about yourself. When you throw that, that's what you feel about yourself. And this, like, linear or this 3D mindset of thinking, like, I used to, like, this was me, and not long ago, I used to feel like, what's the point of recycling? What's the point of not littering? Like, my little contribution is not going to make a difference because I felt so insignificant. And I love that you guys are, like, reminding, you know, the listeners that, no, like, your actions affect your neighbors, your actions affect your family, yes, your friends. And that's something that you really begin to learn and understand on this journey, where the, you know, the further we go and the more we learn, it's just crazy to see what it's like, wow, like, we are really all one. And I don't want to sound like cliche when I say we are all one, man. It's so hard to, like, put words to this stuff without sounding like cliche, like, we are all one, it is all love.
No, but it's so true though. Like, that is literally the only thing. Like, I know that it can get, like, super complicated, the light worker mentality, our work, what we're here for, our paths and purposes and stuff like that. And one can get really bogged down in all of it. But for those of us who are doing it, like, how we stay grounded, how we keep ourselves, like, sane, is to remind ourselves of the very simple truth that literally we are all one. I am Latoya. I am you, Shule. I am my ancestors, I am my, you know, I am my higher self, I am my spirit guides. Like, we are all source, and source is love. And so it doesn't, if there is one thing that, like, listeners are taking away from us, like, take that. We are love. We are one. There is no separation between you and the person you absolutely hate. Mm-hmm. So, like, give them love and light, and, like, yeah, let them be, you know?
What really solidified that mentality for me was visiting my past lives. Mm-hmm. And realizing that what I judge now, I was one in my past life. I was that. So just an example, in one of my past lives, I wasn't the best mom. Mm-hmm. And when I viewed that past life in my Akashic records, and I'm just like, shit, here I am judging other, like, looking at other parents, other moms, and just judging. But at one point in one of my lifetimes, I was that. So who am I to judge? Who am I to look at that other person differently, look at that mom differently and how they did that? Because, again, at one point we were that bad mom, or we were that boss that treated their coworkers or employees really shitty. Or we were that hunter that killed a really exotic animal. Like, we were all of that. And we were at one point really amazing, lived beautiful lives, and maybe saved babies and took care of babies in an orphanage. We are all of that. Mm-hmm. So who are we to judge one another, and who are we to think that you're different or any better?
I love that
once you get that in your mind, like in that concept, it's like, why judge? Why worry? Why compare yourself to other people? Why look at what the other person has? Because at one point you had that too.
I love that mentality.
You just don't know it.
It's really like sparking something within me, because I've told this story in the podcast before. I have a really triggering relationship with my dad. He ended up passing away, and through his death, I feel like we're closer in his afterlife than we were ever in person. And I've really been exploring that relationship. And obviously, like when we were doing past life work and things like that, I actually got to visit a life where I was that to him, where I was the abuser to him, and we like reversed the roles. And I was like, whoa, I see that now. Like I see, you know, the polarity that we played in each other's life and why he came into this life and the way that he did to teach me a lesson. So it's really, really powerful when you actually start to gain that perspective.
Yes.
Absolutely. I'm sorry, Abby. And I'm just
you're okay. Go.
I think it's amazing how our souls make these contracts to come in that way. Like there's, and I've always believed in the saying, like everything happens for a reason, and it's true. Mm-hmm. Everything does happen for a reason in your life. So like enjoy it, appreciate it, appreciate the struggles and the hard times, and appreciate the not like hard times, because mm-hmm. all of it you chose. Your soul chose that for you, and all of it you're learning from.
Could we
actually? That's the evolution of life.
I want to actually go back to that, the contracts. Can we go to the contracts? Because I've been talking about soul contracts, and it's like, how do you explain that you actually decided to have this experience? Because like me, I've gone through some pretty traumatic things in my life, and like many, you know, and it can be hard for people to grasp if they actually ask for that experience. So how do you,
So I actually read a book. I don't know if you guys have read it. It's called The Journey of Souls. And it's written by a man who actually was like not a light worker. He was a hypnotherapist. He had been working with his clients and realized that he could basically hypnotize them into their soul existence before they got into their bodies and experience past lives. So kind of a backdoor to the Akashic Records. And one of the things that he talks about is in one of the chapters in his book is talking about soul contracts and how like we have little soul clusters, people who we do multiple lives with, in various different relationships. Sometimes, you know, a person in your soul, a soul in your soul group might be your husband or wife, or maybe they're your sibling, or maybe they're a friend or whatever. You go in and you get to like look at like all of the different like lives that are like there for you to learn particular things. And so everything that we experience is basically was written down. Like we basically said, I want to learn how to love myself. And so you got to choose which life you out of whatever of these are going to be the lives that allow you to learn to love yourself. Now go and like learn to love yourself. Yeah. And it might be hard. It might be really hard. Like I can absolutely speak to that very thing. Like that is a part of my soul contract, is like learning to love myself. And it was actually like brought to my attention so strongly the other day, when I was talking to another one of our soul sisters, and we were talking about the concept of soulmates, and I had said, well, like, I'm just fine, like, by myself. Like, I don't need anybody. And she had said something before I said it of, you know, if your heart is full of love, why wouldn't you want to share it? So it's, like, great that people love themselves, but I would question whether or not you love yourself if you can say, my heart is full of love, but you don't want to share it with anybody. Mm. And I just thought, fuck? Yeah. Oh my God. Like, here I've been going like, it's okay if I don't have a partner in life. That's fine. I love me. I've got this great relationship with Source. And it was like I got slapped, you know, in the back of my head going like, we've been trying to tell you this entire time. This is a part of your soul contract. Get to step in. And so, yeah, I mean, this particular life has been wonderful in many ways, but it's been lonely in a lot of ways because I have been single my whole life. But it really does stem from this like place of feeling unworthy, feeling like I can't love certain aspects of myself. And so, you know, even us light workers have stuff to work on.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. It's really vulnerable to share that. And I love that perspective. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, whoa, man.
So true. It like literally smacked me in the forehead.
I feel like that's this world. I feel like that's my guides. They're just like, when you get that, like you smacked with the realization, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Well, I had that the other day, right? Because I went to Denver, Colorado, and and beforehand, before I went on this trip, my guides, you know, really made it a point to tell me that this was going to be a very important trip spiritually and like with my family, right? Mm-hmm. So you know, on the trip, I kept getting like the same scenario and I was getting frustrated, getting upset, and I started to worry, right? And one of my things is in my life lessons to not worry. Mm-hmm. My other is to just learn how to be compassionate, right? Mm-hmm. But what I didn't, and like I went and sat at the last day and went through my meditation with my guides, and they would tell me like what things I passed, right? And one of the things, one of the things I didn't pass was like going like compassion, right? And I didn't understand why I didn't pass it until I came home. Mm. And because I'm constantly thinking, because I don't want to go another lifetime trying to relearn and like, I want to level up now, right?
Yeah. For anybody listening, this is like a lightworker's like, or an intuitive's like worst fear is that we are not going to fulfill our soul contract and we are going to have to come back and relearn it.
Yes.
Yes. So what I learned is that the way that I show compassion is I try to fix the other person's problems, right? Their worries, their problems, especially my loved ones, become mine. And I thought that was me showing compassion. Like I'm loving and I'm caring and I'm understanding, right? And I'm concerned. But no, the lesson was to simply show compassion and not try to fix, not try to do for the person. Sit there, show the compassion, experience it with them, like not experience their pain, but let them see that you are concerned and that you love them, but don't have an action to follow up. Mm-hmm. Don't try to fix it. Just show that compassion. I don't know if I'm fully getting it clear or like,
no, you're right.
To the point.
Yeah.
But like, it was just the experience of showing someone compassion rather than feeling like I needed to fix their problem, worrying about them and loving them, just show the compassion. And I'm just like, wow, that like, and it just like realizing that of like where my error was, like also took off burdens because I instantly dropped the other person, my other loved one's burdens.
I love that.
I realized I don't have to carry theirs.
That is so deep.
I could just show compassion and help them through it because that's not my life lesson to learn. That's their life lesson to learn. And if I interfere in that, then they're not able to level up.
Yes, that was exactly, that was something I was going to say. I was like, when we actually take on other people's burdens and we try to do it for them, we are taking away their power. We're taking away their ability to learn that lesson. So exactly what you said about being afraid to come back and do this shit all over again. Biggest fear, by the way. It's like one of my biggest things. I'm like, don't make me come back here. I'm just totally kidding, but not really.
She is not kidding, y'all.
Not kidding.
Firmly, I don't know what I gotta do, who I gotta bribe to make sure I get this stuff now. Because the other thing too of having these abilities is we can see how many times we didn't get it before. We can literally sense and see the physical life where and how many times we can have our guides show us lay the books out on the table basically and say, these are how many lines you haven't done this right. And that's I think the most brilliant part of this whole grand design that Source developed for us is that we do not get just one shot to get it right. I know that this can sound too oh, they believe in reincarnation. So you might end up a bug or whatever. The way that light workers and intuitives think of past lives. I mean, yes, some of us may attach karma to that and in various ways, but it goes a lot deeper than that. Really. It's more about you're a soul in a human body. The human body has free will. You are going to mess up, but you are not going to be punished for not getting it right. You just get another shot.
Yes.
And that is amazing. That is the beauty of it, that you are not held on this very dehumanizing pedestal to be perfect. That perfection is not about what this is. Mm-mm. It's about learning. It is about being better. You're not here to be right. You're here to get it right, to pull out a Brené Brown quote. It is not going to hurt you to get it wrong. There is a lesson in that too. Mm-hmm. That being said though, we all want
we all want to get it right. No, I love that you mentioned that. That's really powerful. I love that you mentioned that because it's so true. I don't believe in reincarnation in that sense. When we look at the law of karma, I don't believe if you don't do this, this, and this in this life, you're going to return as a bug or something like that. I don't believe that at all. I believe that our souls have complete free will in terms of what we want to reincarnate as or what we want to experience next as a soul. And if it's not to come back on Earth, which I know that mine is not to come back on Earth. I've already discussed it. I was like, when I go, I'm up there with my galactic family. I wanted to talk about so much in this podcast, but I like where the conversation went. I was like, let's talk about all of this. It's so cool. I could literally talk to you guys forever. But I wanted to say, for you guys just reminded me, explaining your own stories with looking at yourself, looking at your lessons that you need to learn. It just takes me back to this place of just having total and utter respect for souls that choose to do this work, souls that choose to go down this path, because it's not fucking easy. It is hard to constantly look at yourself and be like, where can I improve? Where am I making the wrong decision? What can I do better as a soul? It is so inspiring to seriously talk to ladies like you and just to connect to this community where everyone just wants to better themselves, better each other, and just literally ascend together. I just love it so much.
Yes, thank you. I definitely do not want people to think that we're better than anyone, that we've got it all figured out. I mean, clearly anybody just listening to this just figured out Abigail certainly does not have
no, absolutely
all
not.
Together. But what we do have for those of us who want to book sessions with us and work with us, while we may not have all of our stuff figured out, what we do have is we know the tools, right? We know how to, one, figure out what the problems are, figure out where the blocks are, collapse the timeline, make sure that we can we can ascend, and we put in the work. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that, you know, separates us from your, you know, back alley, tarot reader is that we care about you. You know, we care about your journey. We care about, your problems, your blocks, your issues, your past lives, your higher selves. We care about all of it. And we see you, you know,
yeah,
we
see you. I think that's the biggest one. I'm sorry to like seeing, the individual, the client, or, you know, just seeing the them as a person. Yes. I could tell you, like, many times where, like, after a reading, I go in and I do my very best to send the messages, and hopefully that they will, you know, receive the message in the highest and greatest good for them, right? And the message that their soul needs to hear. But, like, after that reading, I find myself thinking about that person, that person, mm-hmm. that soul, right? And how that reading, I know when someone's walking away, activated. Mm-hmm. Like, the words that they needed to hear, their soul needed, and their soul is activated. I know when that happens, because I just feel it. And that is the feeling that I love to get and to give to my clients. The feeling of activation, and the fact that they, you know, you're seen, and you will get through it, and you can get through it.
That's a beautiful, yes. beautiful explanation. Guys, where can everyone find you? This conversation was so heartwarming. I love chatting with you ladies. So where could people find you if they wanted to book a reading with you guys?
Well, you can find me, Latoya, on Instagram, and my tag is at Latoya Does Readings, LLC, and I do readings and healings. I'm coming out with another offering in September.
How exciting.
This one's amazing.
Yay,
so talking exciting. About activations. So,
oh, so yes. exciting.
So you can find me at breath.of.life.boss. that's my Instagram. And on my Instagram, I have a link tree with my website where you can go on and book a reading with me through my website. The website is breathoflifellc.com. And of course you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube as well, where I put up all my videos. But go to my Instagram. The link is in my bio, and you can access all of those fun things.
I'm going to have that all linked in the show notes below as well, so you'll be able to find everything there also. But thank you so much again, ladies. Enjoy the rest of your night, and thank you for sharing all your wisdom with us.
Thank you so much. For breaking my podcast.
Yeah. You're so welcome.
I loved it. I loved the conversation.
Oh, I'm so glad. See you later, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed today's episode and you feel inspired to rate and review the podcast in iTunes, it would mean the world to me. Also, if you are wanting to connect with me on a more intimate platform, you can find me on Instagram at Closeted Soul. I would love to hear from you. Finally, you can learn a little bit more about me and this space just by visiting my website at www.closetedsoul.com.